Did you happen to remember to pray into the fivefold prayer that we're praying? Remember to pray for the lost to be drawn here. Pray for those that are backslidden to be drawn here. Those that are not good preaching churches to get out of those and come under the preaching here. And for the unity of the brethren, I tell you, that is so important. Pray for that one, that no little silly things would divide us from each other. And then for laborers to go out from here and God to bring laborers here to Westside Baptist. Lord, I pray that you be with us. And as we say those five things out, Father, would you please answer them. The lost to be drawn here, people that are backslidden to be brought here to be warmed up, people that are in not good preaching churches to be drawn here to get under good doctrine and be fed for our unity, Lord. Iron out the kinks that would wind up and raise their heads up among us. And then, Lord, the laborers here, and take laborers from us as you would see us to be worthy to be called unto your work. Bless now this time in the word. Be with the sailors as they're doing their last things tonight in their time. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Acts chapter 4. We're going to warm up by working our way up to around verse 12, 13, and 14. But I want you to see the verses that go up before that. And my pages blew off here. Hang on a second. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved. That means they were upset. They taught the people, and they preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They were upset about that resurrection of Jesus, and this was an issue that Jesus had risen from the dead, and they were quite sensitive that they had been the ones that had put Jesus on that cross, and it was a sore, it was a scab that had just scabbed over. Look at verse 3. They laid hands on them. They put them in hold. That means prison. And the next day, for now it was eventide. So the night, now comes the next day. Howbeit, in spite of all this going on, many of them which heard the word, what's next? Believed. You know, sometimes we can understand why all the stir. And I know you've seen it. I've seen it. This crowd's an experienced crowd. When you're getting a job done, the enemy gets stirred up, doesn't he? You sort of get his tail caught in a crack. And old Satan gets all upset. So 5,000 people got saved. Wow. You know, neighborhood Bible time, we'll have 40 plus saved most summers. Boy, Satan fights that program. You have a good revival meeting coming. I can usually tell when we have a revival where there's seemingly a good work to be done. It's almost like an inverse proportion law. The better the opportunity for the revival, boy, the more the devil stirs up the week or two beforehand. My secretary, Mindy, has worked with me now. This is her 6th year, I think you've been with me. Or going on 7? Going on 7 years. And I would say to her, we're going to have a good revival. And now when we have something like, and you could see it the week or two beforehand, the phone begins ringing, people's lives, the devil starts whooping the fire out of it. This is what was happening to these that were trying to preach the word. Look at verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or authority or by what name have ye done this thing? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Here was a preacher that was filled with God's Spirit. And what do we need? We need powered up men, powered up preachers, powered up Sunday school teachers, powered up soul winners, powered up Christians on their knees, filled with the Holy Ghost. They said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders, if we be examined this day of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you. And he, without hesitation, he said, be known unto all of you, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ, and over again, What is it that the devil would like us? He would like us to stop using that name Jesus. We can talk about God. We can talk about religion. We can talk about, but when you start talking about the power of the name of Jesus, just keep that out of it. That's why I really encourage you, when you close your prayers, call out the name of Jesus. Don't say in that name or in his name. Say in Jesus Christ's name. It's a powerful name. I was just teaching the book of Philippians. It says that God has given him a name above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. It's a powerful name. Don't back away from using the name of Jesus and preaching the resurrection. These men were not intimidated. And oh, there was a lot of reasons to be intimidated. In the next chapter, there's a lot of reasons to back off, just sort of mum it a little bit, just mute it a little bit. But they weren't muting it. Be it known unto you all that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, that by God, by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And then this is the stone which was set at naught or nothing of the builder, but now it's become the head of the center or the corner. And then a verse that we use in soul winning. Can we just say verse 12? If you know it without looking, it's a good rehearsal for you. If you need to peek, you ought to circle it, mark it, put it on your memorization list. Are you ready? Acts 4:12. Here we go. Neither is there salvation any other, for there was none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do you notice it claims the name of Jesus? There was no other name. Neither is there any other name whereby we must be saved. Well, all this goes on, and now we get to our text, verse 13. That's all just setting the stage for our text. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with. So here's my question to you tonight. Can people tell that you've been influenced by Jesus in a major way? I asked Brother Byerly to add the song tonight, just before we sang, I saw Jesus in you. We know this principle, don't we? I saw Christ in you. But let's go back and look at verse 13. We're just going to examine this a little bit tonight. Not a new verse. When they saw, that word saw, we could take the same word saw as when they discerned or deciphered or perceived. It's a different word than the word, it's like I saw a ball rolling down the street. This word saw has a bigger word to see, is to see, and it's making a difference. When people see you, do they see something that makes a difference? What's different about you? That person's a different person. I tell you, they've got the power of God on their life. They perceived, and what did they perceive in verse 13? The first thing, they saw the what? Boldness. And that word boldness, once again, I like to look up the words. The word boldness there could also be the word their confidence. They just believed what Jesus said was absolutely true. And Christ was the only way, and there's none other name under heaven. Do you see that boldness, that confidence? Another word is assurance. They saw their bold assurance. They were assured. Be this known unto you. They had no doubts in their hearts and minds. Do you have any doubts that Jesus is God? That he's the Son of God, that he's Lord of all, that he's the only way, there is no other way, that those that don't have Christ as their Savior will continue in their condemnation and die and go to hell. Do you have an assurance of that message? Do you have the assurance that when the resurrection comes, that you'll be resurrected by the power of Christ that was shown on Easter Day? Another word that would be there, they saw their openness, boldness, their openness. They weren't hiding it. When somebody's bold, they're not hiding in a closet, are they? They're just assured. They just spoke right out. Be this known unto you openly. I'm not hiding in a closet anywhere. I'm a Christian. I believe in Christ. What, want to ask me again? Just open about it. Sometimes we say, I'd like to invite you to church. That's about as far as sometimes we can get. To boldly identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Another word that you put all these together, it's the word courage. What gives you courage? When you know what you know, that you know that you know you know it. In the end of the day, Jesus is God. And that he will be the vindicator and the one that in the end of the day, they had a boldness, confidence, assurance, courage. It caused them to just not hesitate when asked. I mean, they asked that question, whoop, they could have gone back in, somehow figured out how to kill them. Didn't bother them. They had an assurance in their heart that made them bold. Boy, what causes our flesh to coil back? So this authoritative message, what were they bold in doing? Well, if you go back, I went back in the verses that we just rehearsed. What were some of the things? First of all, they were bold in their preaching and teaching and their speaking. They didn't shut their mouth. Nothing muted them. What did they speak about? There's only one way to get saved. His name is Jesus Christ. Boy, in our day and age, don't the Muslims like, have you ever tried to witness to a Muslim? They'll say, oh, we all believe in the same God. And we believe in Jesus too. Do you let that just slide by you? We don't believe in their God. Allah is not Jehovah. And Muhammad is not another prophet in the line of Jesus. Do you believe this, what I'm speaking? When somebody says that to you, do you checkmate that? Do you boldly say, no, that's not true. Jesus, there is no other name. Muhammad is not a name of God. Allah is not God. So they preached salvation. They believed that if they died, they would go to heaven. Go ahead and try to hurt me. The worst thing you do is send me to heaven. They had an assurance of where they were going. They preached against sin. You say, where do you get sin out of this? Whom ye crucified. You called them out on it, didn't they? You put them on the cross. Boy, that agitated them. You want to get people upset, you just start preaching on sin. You start calling homosexuality sin. Drinking is sin. You start talking about taking the name of God and cursing is sin. They're not just poor choices. They're not just part of your environment. They preached on sin. And in our day and age, we need to be careful not to back off. I'll use a big 50-cent word. We're not to obfuscate when it comes to sin. We're not supposed to pussyfoot around and try to smooth out the edges. Sin is sin. They believed in the resurrection power, and they proclaimed it. If there is a message in the book of Acts that is dominant from the first chapter to the last, they preach the resurrection through Jesus Christ, the resurrection through Jesus Christ, the resurrection unto newness of life. They believed in the resurrection, and they proclaimed the power of the resurrection. They sought the power of the resurrection. They sought to spread the assurance of the resurrection. And then Acts 4:12 is the verse that precedes it. Neither is there any other name. The exclusivity of salvation in Christ alone. This is preaching in boldness. Notice, if you will, also it says they saw their boldness, and I think they saw them fearlessly standing. Why were they fearlessly standing? Well, maybe the assurance of their message, yes, but it could it be also they were filled with the Holy Ghost? I wonder how many churches, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Baptist-type churches, you put any filter you want on it, without being filled with the Holy Ghost, what kind of power do you have to stand? They were men that were standing filled with the Holy Ghost. They were die-hard. They weren't going to quit. They were not intimidated by the fear of men. They had a fear of God in their heart. They believed in a complete exposure to the absolute gospel with nothing left out. Today, in the last 50 to 70 years, we have something that's called the social gospel. The social gospel is watering down the gospel in a way that people in society would tolerate it. That's not the gospel of the Bible. The word of God goes forward and it cuts and it convicts and it pricks hearts. They were fearlessly, boldly, completely exposing the truth, unequivocally identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4 again. Look at verse 13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Well, that's not very flattering, is it? They perceived, and the idea there is that they could see these people are, first of all, unlearned. Unlearned just simply means this. They were unlettered. What is unlettered? Illiterate. One definition, I like the way it puts it, they perceived that they were ignoramuses. You're just a big ignoramus. How do a bunch of people that think they've got a lot of religion and a lot of philosophy and big education, how do they look at preaching? It's the foolishness of preaching. They perceived these guys had never, so first of all, they didn't have any formal seminary training. Do you know, up until the year 1970, it's the last time I saw this survey, that in the United States, 70% of the men in Bible preaching pulpits had never been to any kind of Bible college. Who says that you have to go to Bible college to preach the gospel? Now, it helps. I went. I'm glad I went. I'm glad I went on to grad school, and it's helped me a lot. But they perceived, how could these guys... They're fishermen. How could they have such power and authority and assurance and be convincing? And 5,000 people are getting saved under these ignoramuses. Doesn't make sense. They perceived that something was different about these men. And it wasn't their big words. It was their Holy Spirit power and assurance of what they believed. They made common sense from God. They didn't have college degrees. They didn't have authorities. They didn't necessarily have a whole bunch of ordinations all the way. I think that's a good thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm not going to turn there, verse 17. It says this, not with words of wisdom. Does that mean we go around talking foolishly? But we're not going to talk people by our slick talk how to get saved. It's going to be the conviction of God's Spirit through the Word of God, through bold men of God that preach the Word of God. Can people see that you've been with Jesus? That you have that kind of confidence? You say, Pastor, I'm nobody. I'm an ignoramus too. Well, don't brag about it, but don't we feel that way sometimes? Don't apologize for that. We have a message that we can be confident of because we know our God and we know what He did for our lives. They were just common workmen, fishermen, tax collector, farmer, doctor. We can all preach the gospel. When I say preach, I'm not talking about Pastor Butts here. I'm talking about witnessing. We could all preach the gospel. Would you just keep your finger here and go over to 1 Corinthians? I do want us to go to that first chapter. We were just there a moment ago in quoting, but I should have had you just go over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many what? Wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of this world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. It's not us that does the saving. It's the power of God in and through us, and the word of God, and the message we proclaim. Verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in Pastor Butts. Dr. Hodges. Oh, Pastor Stephen. Mr. Austin. You fill in the blank. None of those. To God be the glory. It's him that does the saving. You know, I've watched over the years some of the most unusual people that you'd ever dream God could use. Let me tell you a quick story. When I was in Bible college, it was my sophomore year, there was a guy that I won soul winning with every weekend. He was a good soul winner, but he was a poor student. And we took Greek together, and actually Greek took him. And he was getting D's, and I was doing a lot better than that. So he said, hey, Rich, could you study with me for the next quiz, or what comes up every Thursday or Friday? I said, sure. We went up to the main alumni building and found a room that was open. On the chalkboards, we wrote out all the paradigms and luo, luis, luo, all the kind of stuff you have to do. Boy, worked hard and got our papers back on Friday after they were graded. I got 100, you got a 42. We worked all the next week. I got 100, he got about a 20. I said, oh, this is hopeless. We worked, and he finally passed one of the quizzes. He took Greek three or four times before he got through first semester, finally got his requirements. The sad thing is, he pastors up in Massachusetts or somewhere like that, runs a church of 500. How big's my church? I pass Greek like this. It isn't your Greek knowledge. It's God. God that works through you. So, not many mighty, not many, it's to God be all the glory. Well, let's go back to Acts chapter 4, please, again, just touch that. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignoramuses, ignorant men, they, what next? They marveled. That word marveled means they admired them. You know, before I studied for this message, I saw them, they marvel, they go, oh, that's amazing. It's more than they're thinking they're amazing. They're saying, wow. Well, how are they good for us? I can't believe they're doing that. They had an admiration for them. Why? Because they're doing with Jesus. Jesus changes us to a person people look at and they say, I sure wish I had what they had. You know, these Pharisees and these Sadducees and scribes, they may have been working against them, but they sure wish they had that kind of power on their life. They marveled. What do you have that I don't have? Boy, when people see Jesus in your life and they see you and how it's working its way out in your life, in your marriage and in your children, and how you're handling problems and how you can smile when the storm comes, they marvel. They marvel. I put down here in my notes, they wondered, they marveled, they admired. There was a secret longing in their heart to have what they had. Isn't that what Nicodemus had? And so he snuck over by night because he'd been with Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus. Because those people that are with Jesus, there's something unusual happening over there. They were jealous. And they wanted to know the peace of God that you and I have. How do you have that peace? Aren't you worried about losing your job? Oh, I don't want to lose my job. You might have to move. God will take care of me. How can you be? Why aren't you not sleeping? I haven't slept for 3 weeks. You found out you have cancer? Well, I'm not excited about having cancer. But maybe God's just done with me. It's time for me to get a chance to go home. I've been in the book of Philippians, and Paul said, I am in a strait between two things. I want to go home, but I need to stay here to get the work done. Well, God has assured to me I'm going to stay alive. That must be the more, but secretly, Paul wanted to go home. You see, he had a peace that either way, God was in charge. They looked at them, they saw the secret, and they said a second thing. This is impossible, what's happening through these men. They're turning the whole known world upside down. How is this happening? They were perplexed. Preaching with power, no homiletic training. They questioned their own beliefs as a result. When people see your relationship, having you been with the Lord Jesus and the confidence that you have, it should shake their false religion at its core. Because you've been with Jesus. Look on, if you will, please. It says at the end of verse 13, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge. The word take knowledge is they recognized this truth. They've been. What kind of things make it so that people see that? They see our love for souls. They see our love for our fellow brother. They see the love. They see us, instead of hating and an eye for an eye, they see Christ in us. They see a changed life. Where you used to be just groping in sin, now they see victory. They see your mouth cleaned up. They see your lifestyle change. They see your dressing different. They see your everything about you is changing. Once again, in the book of Philippians, just haven't been there recently, the Lord says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? To let what's happened in your life, having been with Jesus, to just ripple out through your testimony. It's changing you more and more and more. And the people, the relatives, your friends, your neighbors, they're just marveling. We're just seeing Christ more by every week. More and more and more we see that changed life. They're dressing different. They're talking different. We know where they're going to be Sunday morning. We know. Well, they're at that church Wednesday night at something called prayer meeting. They saw their power in their preaching, 5,000 saved. They saw the authority that was coming from Christ. And they just had to say something. Where is this coming from? Look, if you will, please, in verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say what? Nothing. That word, they could say nothing. We put it in like three or four words. It's actually one word, and what it means is this. They couldn't refute it. They could not refute it. How can you refute a changed man's life? They couldn't deny it. Same word is translated gainsay. What does gainsay? Somebody's trying to twist you into something that they can make advantage of. Your life was so real. Their life was so powered with God. They were so confident and bold. And God was, there was no way they could twist who they were because they had been with Jesus. Their life was pure and clean and changed, and people were being saved. And they couldn't spin it. Because they were just different. It wasn't religion and it wasn't hypocrisy like they're used to. Christ was in them. Can people see that you've been with Jesus? Boy, this is convicting to me. They saw the reproachless testimony. The Bible talks about they were blameless. There was irrefutable. There was pure fruit coming. Souls were being saved. Look at verse 21. After we go through this whole passage, I'm not going to take the rest of your time, but I want you to see, warn them, They threaten them. They do all kinds of stuff to them. Look at verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. They let them go. What is going to help us in this day and age where it seems like Satan has such an up when we just walk with Jesus in truth? Not partway, one foot in, one foot out. They could say nothing against them. And they tried to intimidate them. They just had to let them go. They threatened them. They intimidated. They promised future. They couldn't stop them. They had to let them go without punishment. Two reasons they say here. One was because of the people. And I suggest to you two reasons why the people made a difference in this equation. One, I think maybe because of the unity of the people of saying, take your hands off of them. They're men of God. Even unsaved people respect a real changed life. They'll say something like this. Disaster, crisis, I don't know about you, but I know somebody who's real. The unity of the people in saying, these are obviously, everybody's saying it. They're real. And these hypocrites over here, these Pharisees, they couldn't gainsay, they couldn't twist, they couldn't threaten. And they finally said, for the fear of the people, the unity of the people, they let them go. Second thing I think for the unity of the people, I think the people of the church were praying for them. You know, Peter, more than once in these circumstances where he was thrown in prison, when he got out, he made his way back to the church, knocked on the door, and where were the people doing? They were on their knees praying for him. You know, people, if we want to have this kind of power, we need to be on our knees with Jesus, praying for our people that are preaching Jesus. Tonight, I hope you prayed for the missionary that you chose, that I called you to pray for. Hope you'll pray for me as I present Jesus. Pray for our Sunday school teachers. Pray for when we have evangelists that come in. Pray for the camp ministries this summer. Pray for Pastor Stephen as he presents Christ to our teenagers. On and on and on. They feared for the people. So I ask you tonight, I could take this message on, but our time is well over. Can people tell you've been with Jesus? They took knowledge of them, that these ignoramuses had the power of God on their life, and they were turning the world upside down. And they could not gainsay against it. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to desire and hunger to be that kind of a real Christian. And Lord, help us to realize it roots out of or springs out of a relationship that's thriving with you. Salvation, dedication, devotions in the Word of God, walking in prayer, speaking boldly. Lord, make us those kind of people. Before I finish praying, would you ask God in your own personal way, is your heart hungering, maybe as you hear it preach tonight, Lord, stir me. Help me to draw close to you. Just talk to the Lord like that. Now, Lord, would you please go with us? In Christ's name. And everybody said, amen.